Last Man Standing, written by David Baldacci and read by Jason Culp. To all the wonderful teachers and other volunteers across the country who have helped make the All America Reads Project a reality. This book is also dedicated to the memory of Yossi Chaim Paley, April 14, 1988 to March 10, 2001, the bravest young man I ever met. A wrongly accused man is always vilified by the ignorant masses. Such a man should fire at will. He is bound to hit something. Anonymous. Speed, surprise, and violence of action. Hostage rescue motto. Chapter 1. Webb London held a semi-automatic SR-75 rifle, custom-built for him by a legendary gunsmith. The SR didn't stop at merely wounding flesh and bone. It disintegrated them. Webb would never leave home without this high chieftain of muscle guns, for he was a man steeped in violence. He was always prepared to kill, to do so efficiently and without error. Lord, if he ever took a life by mistake, he might as well have eaten the bullet himself for all the misery it would cause him. Webb just had that complex way of earning his daily bread. He couldn't say he loved his job, but he did excel at it. Webb didn't dream often. However, when he did, his dreams were not kind. Despite having a gun welded to his hand virtually every waking moment of his life, Webb was not one to coddle his weapons. Although several of his own kind talked to their guns as though they were alternative life forms sheathed in steel, polyamide, and hickory grips, with a tapped gas engine for lungs and an ounces-large chunk of steel-jacketed lead set on a powder primer for a brain. As though this soulless steel ally were somehow capable of commiseration when shots went awry and the wrong men lost their lives. Now, that, Webb thought, was a potent subject for a psychiatrist to explore. While he never called a pistol his friend or gave it a slick name, weapons were still an important part of Webb's life, though, like wild animals, guns were not things easily tamed. Even trained lawmen missed their targets and everything else 8 out of 10 times. To Webb, not only was that unacceptable, it was also suicidal. He had many peculiar qualities, but a death wish was not one of them. Webb had plenty of people looking to kill him as it was, and once they had nearly gotten their man. About 5 years prior, he had come within a liter or two of spilled blood of checking out on the floor of a school gymnasium, strewn with other men already dead or dying. After he had triumphed over his wounds and stunned the doctors tending him, Webb started carrying the SR instead of the submachine gun his comrades in arms toted. It resembled an M16, chambered a big 308 bullet, and was an excellent choice if intimidation was your goal. The SR made everyone want to be your friend. Through the smoked-out window of the Suburban, Webb eyed each fluid knot of people along the corners and suspicious clumps of humanity lurking in darkened alleys. As they moved farther into hostile territory, Webb's gaze returned to the street, where he knew every vehicle could be a gun cruiser in disguise. He was looking for any drifting eye, nod of head, or fingers slyly tapping on cell phones in an attempt to do serious harm to old Webb. In Webb's world, one did not embrace one's enemies except to get the drop on them. The Suburban turned the corner and stopped. Webb glanced at the 6 other men huddled with him. He knew they were contemplating the same things he was. Get out fast and clean, move to cover positions, maintain fields of fire. Fear did not really enter into the equation. Nerves, however, were another matter. High-octane adrenaline was not his friend. In fact, it could very easily get him killed.